Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks retreat as President Trump once again threatens more tariffs on China.
Violence in Hong Kong weighs on sentiment as crowds gather in the city for a third day.
Oil falls after a new forecast says peak demand could come as soon as 2030.
The public hearings in the impeachment inquiry begin today, plus Turkey's president visits the White House. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another loss for the Knicks in Chicago. Nets blew a lead, fell in Utah. Rangers an overtime win over Pittsburgh.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. IBKR Pro offers investors enhanced price execution, the lowest margin rates, and access to their powerful trader workstation. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And global stocks are losing ground this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 107. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. The CAC in Paris down 0.5%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.6%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.9%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 17 32nds, yield 1.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 46 cents at $56.33 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $11.50 at $14.65.20 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1013 against the dollar, the yen 108.92. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with the latest on U.S.-China trade talks and President Trump warning Beijing about the consequences of not signing a Phase 1 deal soon.
If we don't make a deal, we're going to substantially raise those tariffs. They're going to be raised very substantially.
Still, the president says China is, quote, dying to make a deal. We get more now from Bloomberg FX and rate strategist Richard Jones.
What Trump's speech did is it really firmly put the trade ball in China's court. He really upped the ante, raised the stakes, and as a result, I think it's all going to come down to how does China receive this latest rhetoric or the messaging from the president.
No location to sign a deal is still up in the air. Sources say sites in Asia and Europe are currently under consideration.
Well, China listens to President Trump. It's also watching Hong Kong, where crowds gathered for a third straight day. Chinese state media is responding with harsh rhetoric. The Global Times goes so far as to warn of military intervention from Beijing, and some protesters say that's exactly what they want. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more from Hong Kong.
If Beijing cracks down harder, if they invoke national security provisions, and Beijing takes the hard line, some of the protesters say that will justify what they are trying to call for. That would spark what they hope is international condemnation. On the other hand, those here in Hong Kong who want a more civil society are saying this is not good because Beijing could force the cancellation of district council elections on November 24th, which could be leaning towards more pro-democracy candidates. So this is a very tenuous time, obviously, for Hong Kong's future. The protesters say this is the only way that they're going to get their demands met. Hong Kong government and Beijing are basically saying, no, this is wishful thinking.
Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports public schools in Hong Kong were closed today and classes have already been canceled for tomorrow. The city's security chief warns of, quote, unthinkable consequences if the violence continues.
The unrest in Hong Kong hit stocks in Asia again today with the Hang Seng leading declines in the region. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Local developers and landlords suffered the brunt of the selling in Hong Kong as nearly all stocks on the Hang Seng dropped, sending the index to a one-month low. Few clear signs of progression on the trade front added to the downbeat mood across Asia. Japanese stocks giving up Tuesday's gains and Australia's ASX 200 declining for a second session. Stocks in mainland China were little changed. Elsewhere, the Kiwi jumped the most in a year and New Zealand bond yield surged after the RBNZ surprised the market by keeping the official cash rate on hold at 1%, defying widespread expectations of a cut. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., traders are focused on Jerome Powell today. The Fed chairman testifies before Congress at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. Here with more is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The Fed chairman is likely to signal once again that monetary policy is on hold, likely at least until after next year's election. Expect members of Congress to press him on the impact of trade wars, they're bad, and the possibility of more fiscal stimulus, good in a recession, but not likely. Powell speaks twice this week. He follows his testimony to the Joint Economic Committee with an appearance Thursday before the House Budget Committee. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Mike, also on today's agenda, data on U.S. inflation due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists predict the consumer price index gained 0.3% in October. Here with details is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Recent inflation data have been tepid. In September, the CPI was unchanged, the first month without an increase since January. Excluding food and energy, core CPI rose 0.1%, the smallest increase since May. Bloomberg Economics says October's data should point to rising costs for autos and apparel. Both declined in September. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Oil declining for a third day as the International Energy Agency predicts global demand will peak around 2030. It cites the use of electric cars and slowing demand from China as the main drivers. Begin more from Bloomberg's Stephen Stabczynski.
We have more efficient vehicles being developed that will use less gasoline. You also have the emergence of electric vehicles that will require no gasoline at all. At the same time, the IEA said that they see a cliff of Chinese demand for oil dropping. And this is significant because oil demand growth has been underpinned by China over the last two decades.
And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.8% or 42 cents at $56.38 a barrel. And Brent is down 1.1% at $61.35.
On the corporate front, shares of Tesla are up 0.6% in early trading. That's after Elon Musk announced his company will build a factory in Germany. The CEO says Tesla will make both batteries and cars at a new facility near Berlin.
And we have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg. Tech Data has agreed to be acquired by Apollo Global Management in a deal valued at around $5.4 billion. The move will take Tech Data private and values the company at a 24% premium to its closing price on October 15th. And futures this morning are lower. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has the latest on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Americans will get their first look at witnesses' testimony against President Donald Trump when the House Intelligence Committee begins to hold public impeachment hearings today. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says that he is not prepared to make any specific accusations against the president before evidence is heard.
The standard we'll have to evaluate is whether these facts show bribery, treason, high crimes, or misdemeanors. And ultimately, that's the decision we'll have to make.
Republican Representative Steve Scalise said the inquiry is taking Congress away from more important work.
They have this obsession with impeachment when the two participants in the phone call made it very clear there was no pressure, no quid pro quo, there was nothing inappropriate.
Today's hearings will start with William Taylor, the current top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine, and State Department official George Kent. Could Hillary Clinton make a third run for the White House? Clinton told the BBC she's under pressure by many to consider a 2020 run, but adds it's not in her plans at the moment. Turkey's President Erdogan sees today's meeting with President Trump as critical to patching some serious cracks dividing the NATO allies. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has a preview.
Still outraged over Turkey's invasion of northern Syria and its purchase of Russian missiles, Republican Senator John Kennedy says, were it up to him, he wouldn't be inviting Erdogan to the White House.
President Erdogan, God bless him, he's going to decide on whose side he's on.
Leaving Ankara, the Turkish leader said he's determined to clear up what he called foggy weather in our relations. Kennedy wants more than that.
He's either on our side or he's on Russia's side. But he can't have it both ways.
It's notable that Erdogan has so far defied U.S. calls to hold off activating the new Russian missile system and playing both sides off each other. He told reporters he plans to talk to Vladimir Putin after meeting with Trump. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A federal judge in New York has struck down an attempt by the Trump administration to undermine parts of Obamacare. The judge struck down the Department of Health and Human Services rule that allowed certain health care providers to abstain from abortions, sterilizations, and other services based on a religious or moral objection. New York, which led 19 states in the opposition, said the rule was an unlawful attempt to allow health care providers to openly discriminate and refuse necessary care. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, as the losses mount, the seat gets hotter for Knicks coach David Fizdale. His boss, team president Steve Mills, recently held an impromptu presser to say he was disappointed in the team's play. Last night's 120-102 loss at Chicago won't help Fizdale's cause to keep his job. Bulls rookie Kobe White hit 7 3-point shots just in the fourth quarter. Finished with 27 points. Marcus Morris led the Knicks with 22. Nets blew a 15-point second-half lead. Lost at Utah, 119-114. Kyrie Irving scored 27 but missed 20 of his 30 shots, missed 10 of 12 three-pointers. Rangers a good win at the Garden, 3-2 in overtime over Pittsburgh rookie Capo Caco. Two goals, including the game winner. St. John's went to 3-0, 74-61 over New Hampshire. L.J. Figueroa scored 25 on a huge upset. The number one team of the nation, Kentucky, lost at home to Evansville, who came in as a 25-point underdog. Close vote for American League Manager of the Year. It went to Minnesota's Rocco Baldelli. The Yankees' Aaron Boone got the same number of first-place votes, but four writers didn't even have Boone among the top three. The Cy Youngs go out tonight. We'll see if the Mets ace Jacob DeGrom can be a repeat winner. Bye week for the Giants when they return. Saquon Barkley out to show he's better than his performance Sunday against the Jets when he had 13 carries and 1 yard.
I do feel like myself. I mean, I would love to be going for 100 yards every game. I would love to be doing the things I was doing last year. Trust me, I don't like the fact that I was able to have 1 yard against a great team and respect to them. But to say that I'm not healthy or this and that and third, that's just excuses. Everyone's banged up. Everyone's going through something. And I'm not going to let that be an excuse of why I'm not having a successful season.
With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, in other sports news, Nike is breaking up with Amazon. It'll stop selling products directly through the website, ending a pilot program that began in 2017. Nike is overhauling its retail strategy, going after e-commerce sales without Amazon's help. S&P futures are lower by 12 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, an RIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street. And this Bloomberg Business Flash brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Jerome Powell may try to steer markets on the rate path when he addresses Congress today. The Fed chairman's assessment of policy is unlikely to have changed much since his October 30th press conference. The impeachment inquiry goes public today. We'll hear testimony from the top envoy to Ukraine, William Taylor, and State Department official George Kent. The stormy U.S.-Turkey relationship resurfaces as President Trump and Erdogan meet at the White House. It's their first meeting since the diplomatic spat over Turkey's offensive in northern Syria. And Google is denying misusing data from one of the biggest healthcare providers. The company says it only accesses the data in question to build a new search tool for Ascension's hospital network. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures down 13 points. Dow futures down 116. NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 16/32nds. Yield 1.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.62%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 47 cents at $56.34 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $11.50 at $14.65.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1011 against the dollar. The yen 108.95. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the liaison office, which represents mainland China's authorities in Hong Kong, says that actions in the semi-autonomous territory are slipping into the abyss of terrorism. On Monday, two people were critically injured when a man was set on fire during an argument with demonstrators and a police officer shot a protester. The violent protests are now in their sixth month. Former President Jimmy Carter is waking up in an Atlanta hospital after yesterday's surgery to relieve pressure on his brain. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime. The Bruins lost in the shootout. And a baseball note, former Philly skipper Gabe Kapler has been hired as the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. President Trump had a lot to say about the economy and the direction of the U.S.-China trade situation when he spoke before the Economic Club of New York yesterday. Let's get reaction now from Bloomberg Intelligence Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. Good morning, Carl. For a lot of people who cover the president, it was a familiar message, but did it move the needle any for you?
Yes, it was a familiar message, but delivered in a much more sober style than the typical campaign rallies. Nonetheless, he did get some rounds of applause, especially when he offered up the possibility of further fiscal stimulus in his potential second term. I think a lot of market participants were most focused on was any new guidance with respect to the health of the trade talks and any progress in that regard. And where we're heading in terms of trade war, trade tensions, and new tariffs. And unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of new guidance in that regard, although one of the takeaways, I think, was that maybe there's a little less progress in a material step forward in trade negotiations than what has been leaked into the press from negotiators on both sides over the last several weeks.
So does that raise concern for you that we might not see that phase one trade deal before the end of the year?
Well, he continued to offer up the possibility that we could see a trade phase one trade agreement, but the prospect of a material rollback in the tariffs seems to be still somewhat a distant prospect. Also, the timing was supposed to initially be middle of November at the APEC summit. That timeline has clearly slipped back. So there are some key deadlines that seem to be falling by the wayside.
And part of that familiar message we heard from the president was continued criticism of the Federal Reserve not working with him, in his view, on lowering interest rates while he pursues the trade war with China. Do you expect the Fed chairman to give some reaction to that when he appears before Congress later this morning?
Well, Powell has made it very clear that he's not going to comment on the comments of elected officials, and that's specifically geared towards the president. But if the president was frustrated with the limited support that he perceives he got from the Fed to this point, he's going to be even more inflamed by the likely tone of remarks we'll hear today when Fed Chair Jerome Powell addresses the JEC, or the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. It seems like the Fed is really trying to orchestrate a soft landing, or at least a temporary pause to the easing cycle that we've seen since July of this year. They're really trying to jawbone expectations into not anticipating additional rate cuts in December. Now, that expectation is only as good as the latest trade headlines. If we suddenly see the December tariffs are likely to be implemented, the Fed may very well have to continue easing policy. But for the moment, the messaging definitely has been that three is the magic number, and they won't have to do further easing. And that is not going to be a welcome message from President Trump.
In our last minute here, we potentially get a headline ahead of Powell's appearance later this morning when we get the consumer price index data for the month of October. What's your expectation there? Could it move the Fed?
I don't think it's going to move the Fed. So we have two key data points this week. One is the consumer price index today. The other one, which I'll argue is the more important data point, is retail sales on Friday. At the moment, the focus is more on the health of economic activity, so a little bit more forward-looking, less focus given to those inflation metrics. So I think we'll see some rebound in October relative to what we saw in September, which was a surprisingly cool report. But the bigger focus is going to be if that sole engine of economic growth over the last couple of quarters, which has been consumer, is well positioned for a strong Q4 performance. With that being said, all eyes are on retail sales Friday morning at 8:30.
Carl Riccadonna, always good having you on. Thanks for being here. Carl Riccadonna is chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. And again, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell appears before the JEC, the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. Ahead of that, S&P futures are lower by almost 13 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Anshin, an accounting and advisory firm providing unparalleled partner attention and specialized advice on tax benefits to help your business. Let Anshin guide you. Visit Anshin.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks in Asia and Europe are lower after President Trump warned China on the consequences of not signing a phase one trade deal.
If we don't make a deal, we're going to substantially raise those tariffs. They're going to be raised very substantially.
Still, the president says China is dying to make a deal. We get more from Bloomberg FX and rate strategist Richard Jones.
The trade ball's in China's court. If we do get a phase one deal soon, as the president said could happen, then I think recent price action that we've seen, higher equities, higher yields, probably is cemented. However, if China reacts badly to this, then I think we could see a big reversal in a lot of the prices.
Well, meanwhile, prices are under pressure in Hong Kong after another day of protests. The Hang Seng Index slid 1.8% as city officials and Chinese state media warn that violence will not be tolerated. We get more from Bloomberg's Karen Lee in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's security chief warned of unthinkable consequences if violence continues in the city. The city's number two official, Chief Secretary Matthew Chung, also said the government remains confident in its ability to contain the chaos after days of intense unrest in the Asian financial hub. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Karen, thank you. Oil lower for a third day as the International Energy Agency predicts global demand will peak around 2030. It cites the use of electric cars and slowing demand from China as the main drivers. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 38 cents at $56.42 a barrel. Brent is down 1% or 64 cents at $61.42.
And U.S. futures are lower ahead of U.S. inflation data and remarks from Jerome Powell. The government issues the Consumer Price Index at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. The Fed chairman testifies before Congress at 11.
On the corporate front, shares of Tesla up nearly 1% in early trading after Elon Musk said the company will build a factory in Germany. The CEO says Tesla will manufacture both batteries and cars at the new facility.
And Cisco Systems is among the most actively traded stocks in the pre-market as it prepares to report earnings today. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Cisco begins fiscal 2020 with slowing sales momentum as tougher revenue comparisons are compounded by mounting concerns over enterprise IT spending. Soft earnings results from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and IBM suggest little improvement in enterprise spending and hint that the slowdown may be more broad-based than Cisco forecast last quarter. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 111 and NASDAQ futures down 42. 10-year Treasury up 17.30 seconds, yield 1.87%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world and national news now, brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The public hearings in the House impeachment inquiry begin today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Democrats have been saying there are a number of avenues to look into that could lead to impeachable offenses. Intelligence Committee member Jackie Speier says one would seem to be bribery.
I have been speaking out about the potentiality of it being bribery for some time. The elements of bribery are there. You have a president using his official office, using taxpayer money to demand from a foreign government that they are bribed to do an investigation to dig up dirt on the president's opponent in the upcoming election.
Democrats say this is the first chance Americans have to hear directly from some of the principals in the investigation. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hillary Clinton says that she is being urged by, quote, many people to enter the 2020 presidential race and would not rule out a third White House bid, though she has no plans for a run. President Trump says he does not care if former President Obama is more well-liked with Europe and its leaders.
They recently came out with a poll that President Obama is much more popular in Germany than I am. I said, guess what? He should be. He should be. The day I'm more popular than him, you know I'm not doing my job. Let's put it that way.
The president spoke at the Economic Club of New York yesterday. President Trump hosts a meeting with the president of Turkey as relations between the two NATO allies are at their lowest point in decades. Turkey is facing backlash over attacks on Kurdish civilians during its incursion into Syria last month. Some members of Congress say Turkish President Erdogan does not deserve a White House invite. Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, a Trump ally, says Erdogan needs to side either with the U.S. or Russia.
If there were a bill brought to sanction Turkey, I'd certainly seriously consider it.
President Trump holds a joint news conference today with Erdogan. The International Energy Agency says global greenhouse gas pollution rose for a second year. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, latest Knicks loss in Chicago. The Bulls, one of only two teams the Knicks have been able to defeat this season. The game was tied through three quarters, but in the fourth, Bulls won on a 24-2 run. Rookie Kobe White made 7 3-pointers. Chicago won 120-102. The Knicks are 2-9 amid reports coach David Fizdale is in danger of getting fired. Nets fell to 4-6, outscored by 20 in the second half. Lost at Utah 119-114. At the Garden, Rangers and Penguins 2-2 in overtime.
Here's Fox over the line. Adam Fox across the slot. Slides it back.
Had the call. Game winner by Kaapo Kakko, the 18-year-old from Finland, and the Rangers just drafted with the second overall pick. St. John's went to 3-0, beat New Hampshire 74-61, also wins for Manhattan and Wagner. And Evansville upset top-ranked Kentucky at Rupp Arena. The Purple Aces came in as a 25-point underdog. If the college football season ended now, Alabama would not be in the 4-team playoff, something they've never not been in. Bama's home loss to LSU dropped them down, but only down to fifth behind LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. Gabe Kapler fired by the Phillies, now the new manager of the Giants. The Twins' Rocco Baldelli edged out Aaron Boone for American League Manager of the Year. Could Colin Kaepernick be back in the NFL? Hasn't played since 2016 when he began taking a knee during the national anthem. He will work out and talk to teams on Saturday. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. We have this headline. Just crossing the Bloomberg terminal, Google plans to offer checking accounts to consumers. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the tech giant plans to launch its financial services product next year. The project, codenamed Cache, will reportedly include accounts run by Citigroup and a credit union at Stanford University. The financial institution brands, not Google, will be front and center on the accounts, according to the journal, and Google would leave the financial plumbing and compliance to the banks. Activities it couldn't do without a license anyway. It's just before 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Disney Plus launches with Super Bundle Dreams. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It's time to bundle up. And not just because it's getting cold outside. This week's launch of Disney Plus suggests that the streaming industry is exploring ways to create new versions of the cable TV bundle. While Disney Plus is perfect for Star Wars and Marvel fans, or for parents of small children, it doesn't offer a whole lot of variety. That's why Disney also introduced a discounted $13 bundle that adds Hulu and ESPN Plus. The company probably won't be alone in doing this. For cable giants like Comcast and Charter, structuring similar packages would seem like a natural evolution of their distribution businesses. The splintering of TV content across various apps, each with their own paywalls, has created a frustrating experience for consumers. The revival of bundles could go a long way toward fixing that. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
A new study has found that the most destructive U.S. hurricanes are hitting three times more frequently than they did a century ago. Experts generally measure a hurricane's destruction by adding up how much damage it did to people and cities. But a Danish research team came up with a new measurement that looked at just how big and strong the hurricane was based on its area of total destruction and not how much money it cost. The Danish scientists looked at hurricanes striking the U.S. mainland coastline since 1900 and found that hurricanes with the biggest footprint of destruction are happening 3.3 times more frequently. Storms like 2017's Harvey and 2005's Katrina. Climate scientists have predicted and shown that higher temperatures in the oceans and the atmosphere, a result of burning coal, oil, and other fuels, is creating more extreme weather and storms. Warm water is fuel for hurricanes, and storms are also tending to stall more. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thanks. Now, some other stories we're watching this morning. Tencent Holdings out with earnings that missed estimates. Income and revenue for the company came in lower than predictions as weaker growth in China hurt its advertising business. Earnings from one iPhone assembler in Taiwan point to solid demand for Apple's newest device. Hanhai Precision's out with results that topped estimates. The company assembles most of Apple's iPhones and typically gears up for production months ahead of the launch of a device. And Nike is breaking up with Amazon. The athletic brand will stop selling products directly on the Amazon website, ending a pilot program that began in 2017. Nike is overhauling its retail strategy, going after e-commerce sales without Amazon's help. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. Public impeachment hearings begin in just a few hours in Washington. Will there be a market impact? We check in next with Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word, breaking in news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 119 points. SP's dropped 13 and NASDAQ futures declined by 43. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.87% and Hong Kong fell 1.8% overnight as the violence continued, while European markets are also under pressure, led by losses in Italy and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index. At 11 o'clock, Fed's Powell speaks before Congress. And at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. After the bell last night, Skyworks earnings disappointed. Shares are down 6.5% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Canada Goose beat estimates. In other news, the impeachment hearings begin at 10 a.m. Dow Jones reported that Google will soon offer checking accounts to consumers, and UBS said that the airlines may see pricing pressure in 2020. In deal news, Tech Data to be acquired by Apollo for $130 per share in cash. And wrapping things up, Mosaic was cut to underweight at JP Morgan, while American Air was rated a new sell over at UBS. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and we just want to give you a little more on that Google story. It is planning to offer checking accounts to consumers. That, according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the tech company plans to launch its financial services product next year. The project, codenamed Cash, will reportedly include accounts run by Citigroup and a credit union at Stanford University. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, impeachment hearings for President Donald Trump make their public debut. Democrats are calling two witnesses today, another Friday, and eight more next week. President Trump is accused of tying U.S. aid to Ukraine to investigations of his political opponents. Former President Jimmy Carter is said to be recovering this morning at Atlanta's Emory University Hospital a day after surgery to relieve pressure on his brain. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime. The Bruins lost in a shootout. And a baseball note, former Philly skipper Gabe Kapler has been hired as the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, the world's sexiest man is Nathan Hager.
I knew it.
Well,
I made it.
Unfortunately, People Magazine, you just got edged out by John Legend. It was close. selected.
Snubbed again.
By the, he won the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony Award.
Oh, yeah, because he needs one more. Sure.
Yeah, well, see, you see what happens. His wife, supermodel Chrissy Teigen, expressed her pride at being with the sexiest man. Nathan Teigen tweeted, "It is an honor," while changing her bio to reflect the achievement.
Don't worry, Michael. You'll get them next year. And if there were an award for sexiest voice alive, we know who's got that on lock.
Yes, but Mad Magazine is now defunct. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I could do a mean fold-in, though. Mm-hmm. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
What, you sexy? All right, Michael, thank you. This is 6:50 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time to check what's going on in D.C. now. Among the top stories, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell testifying before the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. We'll have full coverage beginning at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. President Trump hosting Turkish President Erdogan at the White House for the first time since the incursion into northeastern Syria. And the House setting up a vote on a stopgap spending bill that would punt the deadline for a government shutdown to 5 days before Christmas. Also making news, of course, this morning, the impeachment investigation now hours away from shifting into the public phase. Greg Valliere, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments, is with us now. The hearings in closed-door session, Greg, haven't done much to move markets. Do you expect that to change, though, as the hearings go before the cameras?
No, I don't, Nathan. I think this is one of the stories that perhaps is not well appreciated, and that is that for the financial markets, Robert Mueller made no difference. I think the impeachment hearings will make no difference. It's more important today to hear what Fed Chairman Powell has to say.
Right. So what would change your view? What would it take for these hearings to make an impact on investors?
It would take something new, a new bombshell. You know, maybe there's more on tape. Maybe there are more witnesses like John Bolton who could make a big difference. But for now, I mean, it could be gripping drama. And if you've got tons and tons of time to wade into all of these issues, it could be high drama. But this, to me, does not affect the markets.
Now, given a lot of attention could be on these hearings today, do you expect that that could take some investor focus away from what Chairman Powell has to say? Is he going to be able to cut through with headlines when this impeachment saga is going on?
Well, we'll see. I think Powell's going to make it clear that the Fed is finished with its easing for now. There have been many Fed officials in the last couple of weeks who have indicated maybe they shouldn't have moved in October. Maybe it wasn't necessary. But as far as the hearings go, no, I think this is going to slog on until almost Christmas time. There'll probably be a vote to impeach right around the holidays. And then there'll be a trial that's going to last at least a couple of months. But I think the outcome is preordained. He will be acquitted by the Senate.
In the meantime, though, what do you expect to come out of these hearings as they go before the cameras later on this week and into next week? How do you assess the strategy on either side of the political aisle?
Good point. First of all, there's a mountain of evidence, I think, that makes it clear there was a quid pro quo and that Trump did something improper. What is in dispute is whether he did anything that goes to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors that would warrant impeachment. So for the Democrats, they're hoping if this drags on, it will weaken Trump going into the 2020 election. For the Republicans, there's a hope that eventually the public will get weary of this.
And that has sort of digests or encapsulates the strategy, or at least the talking point that we've heard from Republicans, that they see the president's interactions with Ukraine as being improper, but not necessarily impeachable. Do you see that holding up as we head further into these hearings?
Yeah, I really do, Nathan. Again, unless there's some new bombshell from Bolton, I think when you look at the Senate, you're going to have at least 20 Republican defectors to convict the president. At the most, I see 3 or 4, maybe not even that many. So I don't think it's going to change the basic narrative.
Does it change the narrative in terms of Senate Republicans who are coming up for re-election next year? Are they people to watch as these proceedings go forward?
Well, to my shock, even people like Lamar Alexander, a moderate Republican who's not seeking re-election, is indicating he doesn't see anything that is impeachable. So, no, I don't think there's going to be a tidal wave against the president when the trial ends sometime in the spring. I think the odds are still very, very high that he will be acquitted.
And there's been a lot of consternation when it comes to House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff conducting these hearings behind closed doors for so many weeks. Now that it's coming out into the open, do you think that Chairman Schiff can conduct these open proceedings fairly?
Well, he's going to get a ton of criticism from Republicans about selective leaks and the way this has been conducted. I think they're going to talk about the process not being fair. But that's all going to get lost in the fog of this battle. You know, my bottom line, Nathan, is that if you want Trump out, vote him out. I don't think that this process is going to oust him.
And when you talk about the prospect of how this affects the 2020 election, what is the impact on Joe Biden, particularly given that he's so much of the focus for Republicans on this?
Personally, I think Biden's had a pretty good week or two. He did well in a town hall earlier this week. He's moved into the lead again in Hampshire. I think that he is still a favorite. There's a lot of other things to come over the next few weeks, but I think that Biden is in fairly good shape right now.
Greg Valliere, always good to get your insights. We'll leave it there for now. Greg Valliere is a chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. Again, the House public impeachment hearings begin at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Small businesses, the big tech guys, want you. Facebook and Google are intensifying their efforts to gain traction with local businesses. Along with Yelp, they're competing for the $149 billion U.S. market for local ads. Google, Facebook, and Snapchat are deploying more technologies to take advantage of location-targeted advertising. They're trying to crack the code on how to lure spending from traditional media. Facebook aims to spur business-to-consumer conversations via Messenger and boasts more than 70 million active business pages. Google's local business plans will likely center on maps. Snapchat is offering geofenced advertisements and its Context Cards product, providing information on local businesses. And Google hosts its own native reviews, while the search giant's local guide rewards program for frequent reviewers is boasting more than 30 million contributors. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And again, we've been watching this Google story. It is planning to offer checking accounts to consumers. That, according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the company is planning to launch its financial services product next year. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 115. NASDAQ futures down 40. 10-year Treasury up 17/32nds, yield 1.87%. And the yield on the two-year, 1.62%. And NYMEX crude oil is falling. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.